Welcome, I'm Al Rivett. I serve as a commissioned lay pastor at Indian River Presbyterian Church in Fort Pierce, and it's an honor and privilege to be here with you in, as you continue your study in the book of Acts. Now, some of you may know my wife, Donna Rivett. She recently retired from Indian River State College as Dean of Industrial Education. Well, although we have been married for 19 years, we've come to understand and appreciate that our life experiences have made us perfect for one another. Between us, we have two failed marriages, and actually Donna's second husband died 6 years into their marriage. In my case, out of the clear blue in 1995, my ex told me that she no longer wished to be married. It was a rough time dealing with that situation. It literally brought me to my knees. But life changed as I turned that over to the Lord for Him to deal with. Well, God used a faithful servant to speak an impactful truth into my life. Dr. Sam Rutland said this to me, "Al, your marriage is dead. It's time to have a funeral." Those words were extremely liberating. A divorce would follow, and shortly thereafter, the Lord would bring Donna into my life. You see, the Lord uses our life experiences to mold and shape us into the person that He has created us to be. The tapestry of our lives is filled with dark hues of disappointment, discouragement, and despair. Together, over the last 5 years, Donna and I have experienced the loss of several family members, her brother and my friend Bill, our grandson, Bodie, my mother, and most recently, due to the COVID virus, my only sibling, my sister Marla. Yet our mosaic has been filled with brilliant colors and sunset pastels of love, peace, and joy. For each of us, God paints a beautiful tapestry, a mosaic of life experiences that's just right for God's purpose to be used for His glory. Well, today we're going to look at Scripture to see the tapestry of the Apostle Paul's life. We'll be looking specifically at Acts 22, verses 12 through 21. I encourage you to follow along. Here are Paul's account as recorded by Luke. "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And it was at that very moment I was able to see him. Then he said, 'God has chosen our ancestors, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one, hear words of his. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.' When I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying at the temple, and I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. 'Quick,' he said, 'leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me.' 'Lord,' I replied, 'these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I stood there giving my approval, guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.' This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God." Well, from recent readings of Acts, you will recall that Paul, then known as Saul, started out his ministry with Barnabas. And following a disagreement, they soon would depart ways, and Paul would be joined by Silas, and shortly thereafter, Timothy. They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in Phrygia, Galatia and Macedonia. They were in prison when owners of a fortune teller realized that their golden goose was gone and that their hope of making money from her had departed when she converted to a disciple of Jesus Christ. They were chased from Thessalonica to Athens and then on to Corinth and Ephesus. In Acts 19, verses 11 and 12, states that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Even so, handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. He even raised a young man, Eutychus, from the dead. And also in Acts 19, we find a number of those who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. The passage goes on to say that the value of the scrolls was about 50,000 drachmas, which in today's U.S. money is over $4 million. So we learn in verse 20 that the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Just when Paul's ministry and passion for the Lord were literally and figuratively on fire, the hue of his tapestry changes. Against the urging of those who accompanied him, Paul set out to Jerusalem. Paul says to them, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, in 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter. And if we think about what Jesus might have been doing 2 weeks prior to his resurrection, we find that he too would be headed to Jerusalem, where he was ready to die. Well, just as a brief segue, just want you to know that your homework for next week is to read Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, which is the Palm Sunday story of Jesus' grand entrance to the city. When Paul reached Jerusalem, he too was warmly greeted. And then, like Jesus, he would be arrested and put into the custody of a Roman official. Paul also would hear the shouts of those from the Jewish crowd that wanted to see him killed. Well, that's where the comparison between Paul's road to Jerusalem and that of Jesus is really ends. Unlike Jesus, who stood silent before Pilate, Paul chose to defend himself, and it's through his words that we find the fullness of the tapestry of his life. Paul addressed the crowd, telling of his religious background. He shared that he was a zealot who persecuted persons of the way and participated in the death of Stephen. And here's where Paul's story pivots. He shares his road to Damascus encounter with Jesus. He is blinded by a brilliant light and is escorted to Damascus, where he awaits instructions. Here's where today's scripture reference begins in Acts 22. A man named Ananias went to see Paul, and Paul's sight was restored. Ananias would go and tell Paul, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear the words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard." Well, in a few short words, Ananias tells Paul that he has been prepared for this very moment in time, and that through his experiences, through the mosaic of his life, Paul was chosen to be a witness to all people. And then Ananias, as to give him a kick in the pants, tells him, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name." Well, Ananias knew that God had chosen Paul for a very special calling to make a difference in thousands of lives during his time here on earth, but also millions throughout time as they study and applied his words. Yet Paul questioned how God could use him, the one who persecuted members of his faith, even the death of Stephen. Well, if we're not honest, aren't we all a lot like Paul? Don't we too wonder if God can use us sinners against him and all of creation? Isn't it human to think that we're so broken that we're beyond being used? And isn't it natural response to God's call to say to him, surely isn't there someone better, more qualified, or more worthy than me? Well, here's the good news. God's love for us has nothing to do with our story. Rather, he chooses to love us because of his story, because of the redemptive plan lived out in the glorious tapestry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's only through the saving grace of our Lord and the righteousness that we are deemed worthy to be used. God's love for us has nothing to do with what we have done for him or what we might do for him in the future. No, it's only because of his great love embodied in Jesus Christ that God paints for us a tapestry, a mosaic of life experiences that is just right for us, just right for him to use for his glory. Funny thing, God often uses our sins and transgressions, our frailty, failures, and brokenness to glorify himself. And such was the case with Paul, with the persecution of those as the earlier followers of our Lord. Ananias recognizes truth in Paul and encourages Paul to get on his way and begin witnessing as to God's love and faithfulness. Well, one of my favorite stories at Christmas time, one of my favorite movies, is It's a Wonderful Life, which stars Jimmy Stewart. And in it, Jimmy Stewart, due to a sequence of unfortunate events, comes to wonder whether lives would have been better if he had not been born. Well, here enters Angel Clarence into the story. And Clarence, who's trying to earn his wings, takes George on a series of events and shows George that how dismal life would have been if it weren't for him. Through Clarence's intervention, George realizes that he had indeed made a big difference in the lives of many, and actually the town as a whole. Well, have you ever had a George Bailey moment? Have you ever wondered if you have impacted the lives of others? Well, I have, and I'm grateful to say that I've had a few Clarences along the way that have shared with me how I've made a difference in their life. One Clarence is named Dick. Dick used to sing next to me in choir. He had a strong, deep, rich bass voice. He was a confident singer. Unlike me, a less confident tenor. But it was because sitting next to him that I enjoyed him so much, that particularly when the tenor and the bass parts converged on the same note, and I would be right there with Dick in perfect pitch. Well, over the years, Dick has faced many life challenges. He suffered through two bouts of cancer as he continued to serve as his wife's full-time caregiver. It was during this time that Dick shared with me how I had impacted his life. It was a time, as I got closer to know the Lord, that I used to like to give holy hugs. That's when we could do that, pre-COVID. Well, Dick went on to explain that my hugs of him made a difference in his life and showed him that he could outwardly express love for someone else other than an immediate family member. This made a big impact on him, including how he saw the expression of our Lord's love in his life. Dick's tapestry became warmer and more joyous because of a simple act of a hug. So the question begs, how has the Lord crafted you? What life experiences have made you ready for his service? For whom have you been a Clarence in the past and who you might be in the future? And what does God have planned for you for his glory? Well, for the Apostle Paul, it took the Jesus encounter on the road to Damascus to reshape his future. His tapestry changed on that day and took on a rich color, glow in color and hue. His service would begin and his impact on the Christian faith would be immense. But it wasn't until Paul's eyes were open and began to see the beauty of God's handiwork, the beauty of the mosaic of his life experiences. Paul's restored vision reminds me of the 1895 Christian hymn by Clara Scott. Open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. So how has our Lord opened our eyes that we might see that which he has in store for us? Has his grace truly set us free from the grip of our past sins? Are we able to see his will for our future? Are we able to reflect backwards to see how the mosaic of our life experiences have prepared us for what lies ahead? And are we ready for that journey? Well, as for what lied ahead for Paul, while blind, he had to rely on others to get him to Damascus. He received the counsel and encouragement of Ananias to help him focus on his calling. And he received a second visit from our Lord to get him moving in conformity with God's will for his life. But like Paul, we too need the support of the counsel of others, members of Christ's church, and members of a Christian community such as All Villages. And we especially need the active presence of our Lord Jesus in our lives. Well, Paul had a wonderful life, impacting hundreds of generations because he heeded God's call, because he followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and because he lived out the teachings and examples of Jesus Christ. If Paul had a George Bailey moment, we would all serve as his Clarence, as would all Christians throughout time, because of Paul's teachings, Christian witness, and faithful service. Well, here's the thing. Like Paul, we too are uniquely crafted for God's service. There is no other tapestry like ours. No one else has the life experience that God has given us for his glory. We all can serve as a Clarence to those who God has placed in our path. We are the brush in the master's hand that paints a portion of someone else's masterpiece. God uses us to change the tapestry of others. And when he calls us, will we be ready? Will we be prepared for the journey? Yes, our life experiences paint a beautiful picture, but the making of the masterpiece only takes place when we become more and more like our Lord. As we study the tapestry of his life, doing so through prayer and meditation, reading and reflection upon his word, and applying his teachings to our lives. It's only through Jesus that we can be illumined and made ready for his service. So every brushstroke in the master's hand is perfect, even the dark hues of disappointment, suffering, and loss. The sum total of our life experiences makes us just right for his service, just right so that we might serve him and glorify him. Yes, just like Paul, God has made each of us into a marvelous tapestry, one perfect for his use. So today, let's celebrate that truth. And as we do, remember Ananias' urging to Paul, what are you waiting for? Father God, we thank you for painting us into a perfect tapestry, using the mosaic of our life experiences to make us ready and perfect for your use. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the glorious tapestry of his life, a tapestry that covers us with righteousness and love, a covering made possible through his loving sacrifice and glorious resurrection. We acknowledge that it is through him and your call on our lives that we are ready to be used as an instrument of your glory. Help us acknowledge, receive, and act upon your call upon our lives. Lord, may we be filled with and prompted by the Holy Spirit to share your great love with others. And may we have Ananiases and Clarences in our lives to prompt us to get going and encourage us along the way. And Father, we pray that you will use us to serve as an Ananias and Clarence for others as you craft the tapestry of their lives. It's in Christ's holy and precious name and for his glory that we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a pleasure to be with you today. It's my hope to be able to come back and share another message with you in the future. But before we close, I want to remind you of your homework assignment, which is Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, the telling of Jesus' glorious entrance to Jerusalem. Well, our final word this morning comes from our featured text from Acts 22. In verses 19 and 20, we find Paul suggesting to God that it was because of his past persecution of members of the way that he was well-suited to witness to them. But we know that that wasn't part of Paul's tapestry. God tells him in verse 21, "Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles." You see, God didn't debate Paul, but merely instructed him to proceed with the purpose for which he was created, to witness to the Gentiles as to his great love for them. Similarly, he doesn't wish to debate us as to how he has crafted us for his service. He merely expects us to go and fulfill our mission in service to him. And this expectation is meant for all of us on this side of heaven, whether age 9 to 99, as long as we're here, he has something else for us to do. Well, such was the case of Diane Prisino. Diane had been a recipient of a double lung transplant, and after 15 years, her body started to reject her lungs. She was moved to Hospice House. Now, Diane was a faithful Christian who loved the Lord and waited eagerly for her new life. One day, Jesus came to her, but much to her distraught, he didn't take her with him when he departed. She was greatly disturbed by this event because she was ready to go. Well, over the next few days, Diane proceeded to share her experience with others, especially a nurse who was not a believer. It was through Diane's faithful witness that even while on her deathbed, Jesus used her experience to invite and receive the nurse as a new member of his family. Soon after the nurse accepted Jesus as her Savior, Diane went home to be with him. You see, God uses the mosaic of our life experiences, including our brokenness, questioning, and even death, to witness to his love and faithfulness. We are a perfect tapestry made by his hands, made with all of the brushstrokes of life, including the dark hues of pain and the majestic pastels of love and joy. As long as he has us on this side of heaven, there is more for us to do for his glory. But here's the good news. As we go, we do not go alone, but we go with the abundant love of our Heavenly Father. We go through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we go in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So go. Go be the perfect tapestry for which you were made. And remember these words. of Ananias, "What are you waiting for?"